Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome aboard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Huge game tonight. Game number 6, NBA Finals, as the Pacers are hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do or die here for Indy. The point spread right now ticking back up to 6 at almost every book. And the total has been moving throughout the day. It was as low as 221.5, Pauly, when we came on the air 2 hours ago. Touched 223.5 here at Circa earlier. Now we're at 223 here. It was also 223.5 at BetMGM. They're back to 222.5 in this game. We still don't really know the official status here yet of Tyrese Halliburton tonight.
Well, I imagine that little walkthrough went okay.
I saw some video. It looked all right.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think, what can he give you? How much can he give you here? And I don't expect him to go over his points prop, 13.5. Some books took it down, which I don't have a problem with. But a lot of unknowns here. But I just don't think he's going to give you much. He wants to, quote, gut it out. Okay, fine. But he didn't score in the last game. Is he actually hurting the team? That's the other thing. And he did with his performance in the last game. I think this is where cooler heads have to prevail. And Carlisle has to say, I'm the coach. You're not going out there. Or I'm going to give you a quick 5 minutes and I'll realize you're not the same player. McConnell was great in the minutes he had in the last game. Plus, they've done this before when he's been out and the others can play well with Mathurin, who I like over, Nembhard, Nesmith, these guys. And I know Dan Karpuk, VSiN.com today, made the case that if someone's really going to go off, it's going to be Siakam. And he really got aggressive and recommended 10-1. The alts and 10-1 most points in the game.
Here's the conversation that Indiana brass, right? This must have been happening in the last couple of days, and that is, can we win the game without Tyrese? And I think, honestly, like speaking, the answer has to be yes.
After what you saw in the last game, yes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd say the same thing. If we flipped it here and turned the tables, and you said the other day that, you know, what if SGA gets hurt? You know, and I'll just I'll throw that out hypothetical out there. What if it was SGA who was, like, in his shoes tonight? And, well, I'll actually go back. It was game 5, right? And he had a calf strain. And is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I'd say the same thing. I think Oklahoma City can win the game without him. Now, the guy is, like, a huge favorite to win it. But they have a ton of other dudes that can step up and they take over for him. And other guys have stepped up when Tyrese misses this year. Like, other guys really played well. Nembhard is Exhibit A, averaged 14.5 points, 6 assists. Nesmith, the exact same number of points and 6 rebounds per game. And the overall numbers throughout all 9 games that Halliburton missed this year, McConnell was not amazing, but he absolutely had his moments. And in a do-or-die game like tonight, and they don't play again until Sunday, a guy like T.J. McConnell can go out there and play 35 minutes tonight and be a complete pain in the ass to Oklahoma City.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at with it. And
Halliburton dropped to 12.5 now.
Yeah. I'm surprised. You said it earlier in the previous hour. I agree that some books, you know, can't even blame him if they had it off the board. And you should have just been betting his unders the entire time. Also with the points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me give you some trends here. VSiN.com, Steve Mackin, put the, you know, throughout the entire playoffs, was posting every single day. Here's what we have for tonight. When home teams are playing a third game in 8-plus days, they're 51-25 straight up, and they're 64.4% ATS. That's against teams playing a two-day rest game over the last 4 years. That's Indiana tonight. How about with totals? The game went over the other night, but in the last 70 NBA Finals games since 2013, we've only had 30 overs, 41 unders, 2 ties, 70 plus. The under is 27-13-1, that's 67.5% last 41 games, and 11-2, and that includes the loser to the under on Monday night. That's over the last 13 games. And this total, again, now sitting at 222.5, 223. Some trends there at VSiN.com.
Yep. Put the pressure on them. Win this game tonight. They're 1-8 ATS on the road. The miracle cover that never should have happened in the last game. Yep. And a chance Halliburton could maybe improve a little bit. You don't play till Sunday, and all the pressure goes on OKC. They can win this game. They can. And the problem is, though, why not make the case for several guys, though, that can have big games? Why not? Because I don't think Halliburton's going to give you much. And that's also, if I'm not going to put you off top in props either. When you start looking at these alts, this stuff adds up. How many of these guys can score? Or with Toppin, it'd be more rebounds. But with Nembhard, you're talking about assists and how well he played when Halliburton was out in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Nesmith, I'm looking at threes too. But then what can Siakam do as well? Siakam's had some huge games in the playoffs as well. From the OKC standpoint, I don't mind Williams over again. So you asked the question earlier, you know, what, plus 550 to win MVP?
Yeah.
If he could still pull that off? He's plus 450 to have most points in the game tonight. And he's at 26, 27, and 40 in the last three games. He's 23.5 tonight for his points prop. What would have to happen? I would have to say 38, 40 points and maybe a game winner to overcome SGA.
That much, huh?
Yeah.
I think if he goes for 30 tonight and they win the game and SGA has a little bit of an off night, I think he can win it.
What's off?
18? I would say, no, let's say SGA 18. Goes for 22 points, but not a good shooting night. And okay. Williams okay. is awesome again?
Yeah, yeah. And why not Mathurin? Why not get nuts with Mathurin? Again, Karpuk's 8-1 to have 8-1 to have 20 points. He's already done it. And he had actually got the craziest bet that cashed of these whole playoffs. He was 150-1 to have the most points in the game, which he did earlier in the series.
I'm not going to blame people if they want to go to war with Mathurin tonight and play alternate numbers like 15-plus, maybe even higher than that. I'm not going to because I got burned on the guy too many times earlier on in this series.
Yeah.
By the way, was it Karpuk who wrote up about SGA to have a triple-double tonight?
He did, yes.
Okay,
yep.
So then what about this angle? That was 55-1. I think it's down to like 35-1 now to have a triple-double. But what about SGA plus 240 to lead an assist tonight?
Yes, I like that.
And I'll go one more.
Yep.
SGA is currently 17-1 to have the most rebounds in the game tonight. There was a game against Minnesota where he had double digits. And there's a scenario here where in a closeout game, right, he's going to have his MVP moment. SGA plays 45 minutes in this game. They don't want to go to a game seven. And that triple-double comes close, maybe even cashes. But then, you know, if it does, we're talking about a game where he's probably going to have like 35, 10, and 10 in that neighborhood. And if he puts up double digits of both, then he's probably going to lead or has a great chance of leading both categories as well.
Yeah.
So you could really get bonkers with SGA props tonight.
Yeah. I got a couple quick picks. Holmgren and Siakam, 15-8. Hartenstein, 8 boards, 23-1. Holmgren, Turner, Nesmith, Toppin, Caruso, Dort, Mathurin, all double figures, 22-1. He's got to have 10 points.
Yeah, you're relying on a lot of the fringe guys
there.
Then.
Yeah, yeah, fair. Halliburton, I don't like it already. Forget
it. Yeah, I was going to say cross it off.
It was a Halliburton one. So those are some bombers that could pay out tonight, too, with some quick picks. But it's very intriguing tonight. A lot of stuff going on here. And I don't mind what the listener sent in earlier with the tweet about who's he guarding, though. And don't you think they're going to hunt him and go after him? Number one, if I'm Dagnout, I'm putting pressure on him the moment he touches the ball. Make him work just bringing the ball up the court.
I would do that for sure.
And then number two, I'm going to attack him on defense. You know, you can't come out of this warrior mentality, oh, if I can walk, I can play. I mean, it's one thing. He makes everything go. So if you've got a calf injury and you don't even score in the last game, how effective is he going to be?
Oh, let me ask you this.
This really bothers me. He shouldn't play tonight. I don't care.
Would you go zone?
You could do that. Yeah, you could do that.
No, I think that
I don't
might
hate
be a
that.
Play. Yeah, hide him a little bit.
Yeah, you saw it worked for Denver.
Might be one of the angles.
Damn
it,
right.
It absolutely did.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
That might be a play. I mean, if Carlisle absolutely wants to play the guy, and boy, I mean, he just kept running him out there again the other night when he was so bad.
Yeah.
Maybe that's an angle here.
Yeah. And the money quote again is from Shams. That an insider told him if this was regular season, he would miss multiple weeks.
Yeah.
So then it's just like, what are we doing here? The guy in, you know, McConnell played well. Nembhard's proved it. you can still win this game, and then we'll worry about Sunday and how you're feeling Sunday then.
Right. Well, so if that's true, then that also means that he would not be ready in the regular season for the game on Sunday night.
Yeah, true. I agree.
But at least it's going to buy him some time here if you do pull off. And again, we've been saying this throughout the entire show and the entire run here in the playoffs. We cannot forget that Oklahoma City is 1-8 ATS in road games. And they should have lost the game that they covered.
Yeah.
And Indiana gave the series away potentially there by not actually hanging on. Forget covering. They should have won the game. And they didn't. And so that has been a major storyline now going back to April with this team.
Okay. And then the contrarian angle? Could he go for 18-10 tonight?
As a Michael Jordan flu game?
That I can't see. The flu I can see.
I know.
A lot of people play well when they're sick. Forget the Willis Reed injury.
Have we had give me a more recent example of a guy in the NBA?
Paul Pierce
with the fake wheelchair.
Probably had to go to the bathroom.
I'm sure that there's somebody that had a monster game and it was like, oh, I don't know if this guy's going to play tonight. And it wasn't the flu. You're right. You can get out there and do the flu thing. As much as that sucks.
I thought the Favre thing was incredible. His dad just passed away. I couldn't believe he played.
Oh, yeah.
In an all-time game on Monday night against the Raiders.
That's true, yeah.
I wouldn't have played.
No. No way. Up next, we'll update some live betting numbers, Major League Baseball. Props on tonight's card as well. It's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. On the program coming up in 15 minutes, lifelong Hoosier, big Pacers fan, obviously, as well. Get his thoughts on the game tonight. I don't know where you're listening or watching the show from today. It doesn't matter what city you're in, but if it's close to, it doesn't have to be a big city, by the way, but if your city or town that you live in is always under construction, like Las Vegas is and has been now for, I think, as long as I moved out here, but now it's like really, they took it up like another 10 levels here. It's everywhere, right? So that means you're going to get new buildings, new homes, new roads, obviously, and it's going to be like debris and screws and nails and wood all over the streets, whatever. This week, I had my second flat tire in a month.
Oh, no.
And I got lucky because I didn't have one last year. I've had four since the beginning of the summer of 2023. I've had four flat tires. Every time, it's a screw.
That's it.
And it's got it, and you can't avoid construction spots.
Yeah.
You can't because they're everywhere you go in the city.
They got me a couple months ago. Yep.
So that's a nice way to wake up. You come outside, I got to hop in, go to the store real quick, or I'm getting ready to come to the show. And oh, really? The PSI is down to 2. Hello, tow company. Let's get, whatever. It's just like, but it happened. So if you're, how do you avoid it, by the way? That's the question. If you live in a city where it's always under construction, like how do you avoid these landmines? Because I can't, evidently.
Mm-hmm. I was able to turn it into a positive. I had the air gun, which the place was right down the street. Had enough air to make it. Gave me the new tire. And then while I'm waiting, a little bully emerged from the back and he started humping my leg. And bully dog, great guy. Just comes up like, I actually had snacks in the car.
At the tire shop?
Yeah. Guy had a coat on, little fella comes in.
That's the go-to move?
What's that?
The hump?
Well, that's what he did.
That's who he is and what he does?
Hey, little bully, right? Oh, it's the cutest dog. I got a picture of him. I wanted to take him home.
Uh-huh.
But he comes walking up right to me. He wouldn't go on my leg.
Yeah.
And maybe it was meant to be, because I know.
You love the bullies.
I do.
I'll give you this, by the way. You brought up the gun. Air pressure, this is a total side note, but air pressure in Las Vegas, tire pressure, it's like always changing, down to like 28 up to 45, whatever, with the weather.
Yeah.
We bought a mobile air pressure gun to have in the car. It's unbelievable.
Good move.
It was like $50 on Amazon. I can't tell you how often we use it.
Eddie play.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the concerns were about off the field with Shedeur Sanders.
Hey, how about that?
Does that continue now? 101 in a 60. And then he didn't. And then it also comes out he had a 91 and a 65.
Well, one, I think I totally get it. But two, now we're getting to the point of you got to learn a lesson there.
Well, with that, yeah, with that speed, too. According to the record, Sanders Field to appear for an arraignment for the citation and faces $270 in fines and court costs. He was then stopped by an officer at 12:20 a.m. Tuesday for doing 101 and a 60 in his black truck. He's taking care of the tickets, the team spokesman said. Well, I'm not worried about that. What is he doing? Andretti here.
Well, he's
slow
down. I always say this. Unless this turns into a thing, I'm going to say like he's, you know, first contract in the NFL. I'm going to guess he has a brand new truck that you're talking about here. And he's going to go out there at night and give it a go. I mean, I can't really blame the guy. I mean, don't we all do that when we're young?
Yeah.
When's the last time you went 90 and a 65 this morning?
That's been a long time.
I almost just swore on the air. Yeah, right.
No, I don't get it up there. No, not 90 and a 65. No.
Who are you kidding?
Those days are behind me.
Oh, my God. Right.
What was I going to say? So then Edie for the Memphis. Oh, I was going to say, isn't the Georgia thing well documented?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's,
the drag racing and the deaths.
It's over and over and over again.
Yeah, right.
It's a ton
keeps
of players.
Going on at Georgia.
Now, that's a completely different story.
Edie just got a 101 and a 55.
That's a heavy duty fine.
That's a big one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many speeding tickets have you had?
Oh, boy.
When's the last time you got one?
I called El Lasso.
No, not talking about that. I'm talking about last time you were pulled over. Hey, Paul, you're doing 78 and a 30.
Okay, first call, probably had over 20 in my life. I've slowed down. I think I've had one in the last 5-6 years.
Oh, good for you.
And I usually, if I have an issue, I call El Lasso.
Is 20...
I had one issue out here, and it wasn't my fault. I had an 80 and a 20.
But that definitely doesn't sound like your fault.
It's not my fault.
Nah, I get that. Don't even bother explaining it to me. I know
you
it's
know
not your
the
fault.
Spot where it's at, where it goes from 65 to 45 to like that. Like no time to.
And you're probably
you
on your
give me a grace period.
Right, and you're probably on your phone, you know, tinkering around, you know, not paying attention. So.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah,
right.
By the way, does 20 feel like a really high number to me, or is that my imagination? I'm not asking you. I guess I'm asking the audience and the guys behind the glass as well. Has anybody else back there had more than 10?
I got two in the same day once.
Now we're cooking.
Yep.
Now
speeding
we're
tickets.
Talking.
Two in the same day.
How fast?
Now we're talking.
Both.
Wasn't outrageous.
Did you get them both?
Wasn't
taken, I'll take care
didn't
of both of them.
It. No, this was, I didn't know El Lasso.
This was pre-El Lasso?
No, this was in Minnesota. I got two in the same day.
Did you lose your license?
No, I don't know what happened.
Two in the same day?
Yeah.
Were you pissed off at the first one? Or did you think to yourself...
Wasn't my fault.
Again,
I was delivering pizza in college. I got a B's place.
Sure, yes.
I mean,
you're under the gun. Yeah.
These kids with the drunk munchies and the ganja and everything getting after in college.
You might lose your job.
They want their pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to be there on time. Sure. This was before all the apps and all the Google, you know, telling you where to go and everything. You just had to... I mean, this is the boonies, too, with some of these spots.
Yeah.
And I was able to get there and find it... Every single time.
I was delivering pizzas as well in college, and it was a busy Friday night, and it was a complete bleep show. And I get back from, like, one delivery, and the manager's like, here's six more. Take them. I'm like, I got to take out six right now. This is going to be fun. And at the tail end, like the last one, the guy get, you know, knock on the door. Here you go, buddy. Here's your pizza. He's like, it took an hour. I'm like,
I know. Why is it your fault?
I know it did.
Why?
He goes,
always would blame me, and
of
they
course.
Wouldn't give
and
me a tip.
I can't tip you. I'm like, do what you got to do.
Oh,
but
no.
I, you know, I'm not going to go to an explanation of like,
I didn't make it.
Total runaround and like, I'm, you know, 5 miles this way, 3 miles this way. And, you know, sorry, buddy. I'll try to be better next time.
Yeah. The bar would close, yet the pizza place would stay open another hour or two. So once the kids are out of there and they're drunk and they want to eat, they're calling nonstop. So the orders pile up. And then if you're, you know, it took an hour, then it's your fault and they don't give you anything.
I know.
Come on.
Well. So in Major League Baseball today, the Giants, it looked like, they were on the verge of getting swept here by the Guardians, which would have been not a good look. Webb was really good today. They have a 2-1 lead in the ninth. And this is the number one bullpen that you can rely on. I'm not jinxing it for this game. I'm talking about overall. We'll see how this game plays out now here in the final moments. But like their ERA in the bullpen, the whip, everything like that, it's the best in baseball, Paulie. And their starting pitching has been, like, really, really good.
Yes, it has.
And now with Devers, I know it's been a weird week for them.
You don't have a win out of Verlander yet. That's funky. I like this Giant team.
Yes, so do I. I am buying into them.
Got that. Pirates on the board. Lead Detroit 1-0 in the second. And blown out earlier. 9-2 Detroit in game one. Scooble was good. And they're now 16-5 against lefties. And St. Louis, after winning game one, is now up 3-1 in the third inning against the White Sox.
You're going to go to battle with Houston again tonight.
Yes.
In the $1.35 range against the A's.
Yep, and Lopez under strikeouts, 4.5. I like the Braves again. Mets are going through a bit of a funk here with their losing streak.
Yep.
And I got to boy, this Morton thing is tough. All of a sudden, they put him back in the rotation. They've won all four of his starts. But Tampa, that great record at home, going back 16-5, last 21 at home. So in the miracle win last night after being down 8-0, 8 games over .500, only 2 games behind the Yankees. And I like the Phillies again. They're ready to go here in 20 minutes. Phillies a good price. I like Sanchez against this bad Miami team. And I think the Dodgers are too high. Shouldn't be 280 tonight.
Had a winner earlier today with some live betting. When the Diamondbacks were up 6-1 against the Blue Jays, the total was 11.5. Thought at that time it was worth a bet. That's a winner. They got to 14 combined runs, 9-5, your final score. The reason why is because the Diamondbacks bullpen has been absolutely hideous. And one of the guys today, right, they went to 3 relievers overall. One of them blew up. It was Anthony DeSclafani. 2 innings pitched, 5 hits, 4 runs, and he allowed 2 home runs to the Blue Jays. So that game went over. Good one there. And we're seeing now more runs overall because of I think the heat, the humidity, these hitting conditions for batters, Paulie, I think that's probably playing into some of these higher scoring games now that we have. I mean, there's a 12-5 today. There's a 7-3. There's a 9-2, a 5-4, an 8-7, and a 9-5, all games final in baseball.
That is Gore against the Dodgers tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, he was supposed to go today against the Rockies.
Gore against Kershaw tomorrow. On MLB Network.
Wow.
And they finally snapped their 11-game losing streak. Good for you guys. Huh.
You want to do Kershaw in a head-to-head matchup for most Ks against Gore in the game? Huge number.
Yeah.
Wes Reynolds on the program next. Big-time Pacers guy. Do they have a pulse tonight? How is he attacking player props with the Halliburton news?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Game 6 tonight, NBA Finals. Oklahoma City with a 3-2 lead over Indiana. The Pacers, the home team tonight, and they are catching 6 points pretty much across the board. I still see a 5.5 out there at BetMGM, and the total is about 222.5 or 223. And we head out here to the Progressive guest line as Wes Reynolds joins the program now. Wes, good afternoon. How you feeling?
Cautiously optimistic, at least early on. I don't think that this is over. I know that's the common refrain out there, and everybody else that you're hearing up and down the network and in other platforms is like, okay, this is a wrap. And I'm not being a homer here. I just think that they've got one more left in them. They have been a resilient bunch all playoffs and really all season. So I think that they've got one more punch left in them. And hopefully it comes in the first half tonight, because that's the way I went ahead and bet this. I took +3 at reduced juice in the first half. If you get 3.5 or you got to lay a little bit, I would certainly prefer that. But I think the Pacers come out ready to go and know that their backs are against the wall. And you've got an Oklahoma City team, you know, haven't exactly been road warriors. They did win that game number 4 last Friday night, where the Pacers just kind of got stagnant and fell apart offensively. But, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a, okay, we've taken control of the series, and maybe they're thinking that the Pacers are going to lay down for them early on, and I don't think that that's the case.
Yeah, so walk us through it. You're right. Bad on the road, 1-8 ATS in the playoffs, should be 0-9, and then everything that happened in the last game, all the turnovers led to 32 OKC points, yet it's still a 2-point game with 8 minutes left.
Yeah, and the whole thing is, you know, we're going to see how effective Tyrese is going to be. He is going to go. He is going to start tonight. It is going to be Nembhard, I think, initiating most of the action. And you know, that could be dangerous based on how he played last game. He had an awful game. And I felt like his poor ball handling and just being careless with the ball after the Pacers made that run to cut it to two at about the 8.5 minute mark, his ball handling is what really cost him the game, because all those turnovers, including Tyrese's two turnovers in that like 2.5 minute span, led to 11 Thunder points. And all of a sudden you're down five and you're right in the game where it's like, hey, we might be able to steal this, even though we have no business doing so. Then all of a sudden you're down 16 with about 5 minutes to go and it's over. So it's going to be Nembhard initiating. The whole key, I think, is you got to get Miles Turner going in the first quarter.
Okay.
And the last two games, he had 6 points in game four in the first quarter, and he had 4 in game five. He's much better at home getting engaged. So if he hits a three early, you see him have a little bit more energy. You see that's just that little bit of uptick, you know, where he's running the floor and he's blocking shots and he's at least somewhat holding his own rebounding, because we know Miles is not a very good rebounder for a center in the NBA, and Hartenstein and Holmgren have been owning the glass pretty much this entire series.
Yep. So the books are still offering right now a points prop and a points, rebounds, and assist prop on Halliburton. The points prop has come down throughout the show, sitting at, I think, 12.5, maybe 13.5 out there still. And the PRA is at 24.5 still. How would you attack that?
I would only bet the over just because of the dip, but I'm probably going to end up leaving it alone, Mitch. I just, you know, the uncertainty and the fact that he was basically out there in those minutes as a decoy. And I know part of it too is like, you know, he has earned his right to be here and he's helped carry this team and help this team to this point. So you don't want to say, hey, man, take a powder. You got to sit out. But he was only simply out there as a decoy. So if you made me, I would take the over, but I think I'm just going to leave it alone.
Okay, so then of the others then to maybe step up, and we've got, you know, talked about some of these names already, but McConnell, Mathurin, Nesmith, Nembhard, how do you want to play any of those four guys?
Well, maybe we go with the birthday boy. Benedict Mathurin is the Canadian was walking into Gainbridge tonight with the Canadian tuxedo. So maybe that means he means business tonight. So I know that that's not exactly a cutting-edge analytical analysis, but I think Mathurin's got to be aggressive tonight. And we know that he's a little bit of a defensive liability, but you got to pick your poison. And I think maybe they're willing to play McConnell and Mathurin some more minutes tonight, because what that does is that makes Oklahoma City think ISO, you know, we're just going to isolate these guys and post them up and score very easily. But I think Oklahoma City, when they get into that isolation game, that's where they haven't functioned. And you've seen it really all playoffs. 108.5 offensive rating on the road in these playoffs, 120.9 at home. And that is part and parcel of the fact that, you know, it's just Shea dribbling it out and taking a tough shot, and he can make those tough shots, but you don't want to do that. They are much better, and you've seen them try to have Shea a little bit off the ball instead of handling it all the time. So you get a little bit more Caruso handling the ball. You get a little bit more of J-Dub handling the ball and initiating the action and initiating the offense. So that's another reason why I think Shea on assists is a way to go with the under. And I know it's been hit a little bit. And one of the reasons I say that is because role player shooting regresses on the road. And I think that you're going to see that with Oklahoma City tonight. We saw what really killed the Pacers and put them behind the eight ball, aside from the fact that J-Dub scored over 40, was Wiggins and Cason Wallace combining for 7 threes off the bench. You can't have that. Yeah. You can't have that from those role players. And I think that that's absolutely going to regress, because Wallace was 3 of 4, and then, but he was 0 of 6 from 3 the preceding game. So you want to sell, I think, these Oklahoma City role players, specifically Walton and Wiggins.
Based on that, and also Halliburton's, you know, status, going to be gimpy, you would think anyway, would you go zone a little bit here tonight?
Oh, good question. I would.
I think maybe give it a shot.
Because it gave Denver so many problems as well.
Yeah, Denver,
throw that out there, and then he can protect them. That's a way of protecting them as well.
Right.
You can do that.
Right.
Williams down to 22.5 at DraftKings for points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's
Were you surprised that Wes's answer
business
there over with Tyrese, though? I got to go the other way.
Yeah. Well, you like to do this in play, though.
Yeah, you can get involved.
This is great to take a good look.
No doubt.
How he looks and how he's if he's giving him problems, which I think it will in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think we have Wes Reynolds back now on the Progressive Guest Line. I was asking you, maybe based on what you were saying, expect some regression from guys like Wallace and Wiggins. And because of Halliburton's status, would you play? Would you? In fact, do you expect Carlisle to maybe play a little bit of zone?
I think he probably has to a little bit, because thinking the 3-point shooting, obviously, for the Thunder was much higher than I think the series average was in game number five. So, look, it's kind of a pick your poison. You know, do you let Shea cook off the dribble, or do you leave some open threes? And they left some open corner threes in game number five. Oklahoma City just hit them, I think, with Wiggins and especially Wallace. So, yeah, I think that those are going to regress here. And this is also a closeout game. So another prop I did play Alex Caruso over 9.5 points, because Caruso, this is very similar to the Knicks series, where it's like, it was kind of like the fifth starter for that team was Robo Hart, where it was Robinson and Hart, and they were kind of both starters. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think you're seeing the same thing here with Caruso and Hartenstein, where they're both essentially starters, but Caruso gets the starter's minutes, whether he comes off the bench or not. So Caruso, the time to sell him was when he was 10.5 in last game. He ends up only getting 2. He's going to see a lot of minutes here, and you're going to see him. And part of that is to save SGA's energy, where it's like, we could let Caruso initiate the offense a little bit, where he's not looking to score, but he's looking to set it up. So Caruso over 9.5 points was what I did on an Oklahoma City prop tonight.
Okay. All right. The total overall, 222.5. How do you want to attack that?
Yeah, I ended up trying to middle last game and only going 1-1, because game fives usually are the nuts when you bet the under, especially when the series is tied 2-2. Tonight, you're seeing it tick up a little bit, because I'm seeing some, even a 223, I think, right where you are at Circa and also at Station. So you are getting a little bit of buyback on it. I'm gonna leave the total alone. I could see that scoring maybe picking up late, and if it's a two possession game or something where Oklahoma City's up 5, well, you know the season's over, so the Pacers are gonna foul at the end. So I'm leaving the total alone tonight.
Good point. That's a good point at the end as well. Good to talk to you, and enjoy the game and enjoy the fever tonight. Thanks, Wes.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
That is a bad job by the WNBA. The Fever are playing tonight, and then they don't play the big Saturday CBS game.
Right. And they're playing in Golden State, right?
Yeah.
It's random, but I mean, they probably could have looked at the overall schedule.
Yeah. But she's got to be the Saturday afternoon CBS game. It's Chicago Sky. Yeah. Want to make smarter football bets? Start with VSiN Pro for a limited time. Grab our football special, the early bird rate of just $175. Full access now through the Super Bowl, our NFL betting guide. Drops in a couple weeks, ton of season-long best bets, the morning email from Bill 80, every best bet, every host, every guest, the betting splits, DraftKings and Circa, and the on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. Early bird special, VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in your early bird football special, 175 whole football season, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Pacers win tonight. Oklahoma City in game 7, back to 9.5-point favorites?
Oh, yeah.
Probably have to
10,
be, right?
Yeah, 9.5, 10, yeah. See what Halliburton looks like, too. Yep.
Yeah, one would think anyway.
3-0 Pirates, top of the third.
Hey, they're getting him some support,
some runs, yes, a couple bombs.
Skeens to record a win today must have been a nice plus price on that.
Yep.
In-pocket plays, what we're betting, coming up next on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it, take it, take it.
I'll bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. Astros run line. No problem. Take out the A's. Easy win. Ton of runs in that one. They're rolling back to the NBA. Chet, 3's under tonight, 1.5. He's made 2 in the last 4 games. Neesmith over 1.5 threes. Travelers Championship, Ben Griffin, top 5, 7-1. He's top 15 right now. Scheffler with a share of the lead after the first round. And then Ben Griffin to win the Open Championship. And McIntyre, 40-1 to win the Open Championship. Also, SGA most assists tonight, plus 240. That's under game leaders. I like what Dan Karpuk is going to attempt tonight. I'll get to that coming up. But this could be, this has all the makings. You get some big tickets that could cash with the game leaders or the alts.
I totally agree.
Someone can go off with the Halliburton situation or blowout situation and the season's over.
The alts tonight, the same game parlays, all of that, I think. Some real big bangers coming up tonight, potentially. Had a loser last night. When you're running cold like I am, anything can happen.
That was ridiculous.
That was a rough one. They had
four straight singles.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get the guy in after that.
Nine hits in the first five innings. So it's 1-1 going to the top of the fourth. They have the bases loaded, nobody out. I had the Astros first five team total over 2.5. It ended up being a loser. It's like minus 1,000 at that point to be a winner. So all I could do was laugh. Just like, yeah, when it's going like this, it's going to continue. And then what happened in the sixth inning made it even more comical to me because nobody was on, two outs, and they explode for seven runs. It's baseball, man. Whiskey and a revolver is what you need. Tonight, I'm going to be back on that game. Well, first of all, it is pending. I have not done anything yet. We shall see. SGA under 33.5 points per game to average that number in the finals. He's at 32.7. It'll be a push if he gets 39 points tonight. It's a loser if he gets 40. So I might go over his points prop tonight. Haven't done it yet. Might do 30 plus, something like that. I'm on the Astros money line, minus 136 against the A's. I don't like this. Lopez is going for Sacramento.
Oh, yeah.
And the Astros are red hot. They have the most wins in June, by the way, right now.
Yeah.
They're leading teams like Tampa, and I think there's another one on the list as well. And I'm fading Halliburton tonight. Under 24.5 points, rebounds, and assists in the game.
Want to know where the money's really going? Unlike other sources, our splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings, giving you insight on where the sharp action's landing. Circa takes huge bets from pro bettors. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits as little as $9.99 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now. Join the team. $9.99. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Okay, it is official. As of this second, Halliburton is going to play tonight.
Okay.
That report just came down.
Thank you. Dan Karpuk, VSiN.com. Siakam had 30-plus in three games during the Eastern Conference Finals and won MVP. He also has had a big performance in this Finals. He's 5-20 at FanDuel to have 30 points. He's 10-1 at DK to have the most points in the game. Mathurin, over 10.5 points. Also, Alt 20 is 8-1 at BetMGM. He cashed the crazy 150-1 earlier in the series for most points. And he's going to take Jalen Williams again to have 30-plus, plus 320 at FanDuel. 26, 27, and 40 points in the last three games. A rising star built for the big stage. He continues to get it done. I'm with Karpuk on that one as well. And he got nuts with SGA. Triple-double, 50-1 at FanDuel.
I don't hate it. Again, you're betting most assists. I like that. And I also would sprinkle maybe a little bit on most rebounds. There's an angle there. Indiana's not a good rebounding team. Now, he'll have to beat out somebody like Chet or Hartenstein on his own team, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in a game tonight where if it's close and they want to close it out here and they have the lead and he's going to be playing 40-plus minutes, 45, whatever that number might be, I can see he did that against Minnesota in one of the games. I can see him doing that tonight where it's like his final stat line is, you know, 35. I have a number here on it, by the way. It's like 35, 11, and 10, whatever that is. StatMuse put out a tweet. Now, it's a small sample size here, but the only players in closeout history to average 35 and 5 in those games, Jordan did it, Giannis has done it, Luka, and SGA is the fourth guy on the list. That's it. 35 and 5. Those are the averages. So
Caesars Will Hill only has Siakam up there, but Siakam 26-1 for a triple-double. If you want to play that tonight.
I saw.
I think he's in store for a big game, too.
I think others, you know, Dan was betting that. Others did as well. I saw 35-1 recently in another book.
Oh, okay. Yep. 6-1 Cardinals in the fourth inning. Game two of a doubleheader. And the Pirates got another one. Home Run Derby in Detroit, game two of a doubleheader. Skeens now with a 4-0 lead in the bottom of the third. Always go back, listen to the podcast if you missed anything. Great interviews. Anthony Irwin was unbelievable today on the bus family selling majority of the team. $10 billion evaluation. I thought it was interesting that a lot of fans were excited and thought it was a huge day and what's not good riddance. What I'm trying to think what the word is, but
even, onward and upward.
Yeah, but O'Shea, Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson, saying, "Come on, show some respect. All these titles since 1979, the Buss family. Too much negativity on here."
Let's be honest here for a second. It was an unbelievable deal for Jeannie and her family.
Oh yeah, got to take it.
Of course you
do. I'm surprised you're not taking it with these other guys. What's going to the cutoff going to be? Plus, the timing was right because the Celtics just went for $6.1 billion.
Right,
but it goes back to, you know, Ballmer's one thing. But these other guys have so many irons in the fire, and they have all this income and own these other businesses. This is all the Buss kids had.
Sure.
But it was run like a mom-and-pop shop family business with Jesse's running the scouting. Joey's running developmental team. And one guy's running the D-League team. Analytics was out in a closet. It was incredible.
Well, the way
thinking back now, it's been described as now we'll see the modernization of the Lakers and more resources, and they're going to be dangerous, and they're going to run the Lakers like they run the Dodgers.
Yeah, and the way that he was describing it earlier, 2 hours ago on the show, is that it was like bare bones.
Yeah.
Right? Comparing it to like other teams and ranking them where they are, like in the league, the scouting department, right?
Yeah, right.
The videotape people. Any of that stuff, like it's like, nope, doesn't exist, not happening.
Yeah, that's my biggest takeaway, too. What he said, but also what Ballmer does, what Lakeup does, we're going to do whatever it takes to win and spend money. And if it means we have to go pay this tax or, you know, go over whatever limit is, apron this, apron that, whatever, we're going to do it and find a way to win. And you see while the Dodgers spend every single year.
Yeah, and so to me, that doesn't mean it's going to happen like overnight and this year. I think we are differing on this. I'm not betting the Lakers at 16-1 to win the NBA title. First of all, the offseason, like they're not going to get Giannis. They're probably not going to get Kevin Durant. Even if they did, would that be enough for you to say, hey, they're the best team in the Western Conference now? Not to me. Like, I just don't think like this year's crop of free agents is going to be good enough where they can just be like, okay, now we're spending zillions and we're going to go over the cap and, you know, pay whatever tax. I think down the road, though, this is a post-LeBron move. And they're going to be set up to where Luke is going to be in his prime for a long time. And eventually, like, I think it's going to be 2 years from now and 3 years from now where it's going to be every single year they're going to turn in, you know, they'll find a way to, like, be the Dodgers of the NBA. That's what I think is going to happen. And, you know, the little things, right? I brought this example up to him, our guest earlier. There was a 3 or 4 year stretch where they made the right draft picks.
Yes.
But they were not playing well, and they punted on those players, Julius Randle, Brandon Ingram.
The Zubac trade was ridiculous.
Absolutely.
By what Magic Johnson did.
Lonzo Ball. And people were like, these players stink.
Caruso? I throw Caruso in there?
Another guy, sure.
He was on the championship.
But he was good.
Team. Yeah, but you know, they didn't know what they had.
Sure, and then they're like, okay, well, these guys are no good. So then they traded them for like pennies on the dollar, and guess what happened as soon as they left? Didn't Randle and Ingram both win Most Improved Player of the year eventually? And Lonzo Ball, unfortunately for that kid, he's been hurt, but as soon as they left the Lakers organization, they just started to flourish. And it's like, wow, this is not a coincidence. Well, I don't think so.
My favorite story was Jimmy Buss. He put his buddy Chaz in charge of scouting, and Chaz was a bartender at Del Mar. You couldn't make it up.
Sounds about right.
He had the line, like, if you're a fan watching the draft, you pretty much are going to agree on and know who the top 10 picks are. He said that in an interview.
Wow. Yeah, and they were, you know, only worth $10 billion. Jesus. All right, that's it for us. Primetime next for 4 hours. Cashing out later on tonight and wake up with Dave and Jensen, VSiN by the books tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern.